Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John Jastrzemski. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
It's 9:04 here on this Monday evening. We're rocking and rolling. It's JJ After Dark, John Jastrzemski. We're right here on The Fan. Get aboard at 877-337-6666. And it's crazy because me and this guy go way back. And now, you know, it's like second nature that he's just a seamless part of the SNY machine that is Gary, Keith, Ron, and Gelb. So let's talk some Met baseball. My main man, my Syracuse compadre, Mr. Gelbs. What's happening, brother? How we doing?
JJ, let me tell you something. I really appreciate you buttering me up like that, but let's talk, okay? I don't care who's listening. You just said it. How far back do we go? How far back do we go? Decade. Decade plus. And I got to get asked to be on the show tonight by your producer.
You know, it's a fair point.
I can't get a text from you.
It is a fair point. Gelbs, you got a point there. Now, listen, Paul Rosenberg has got one of the best gigs in the business working with me. Sometimes I got to make Rosie feel important, bro, by texting a guy like you. You know, he gets a kick out of it. He's a big Met fan. He gets a thrill texting the great Steve Gelbs. Come on now.
I can see that. Okay, I'm ready to move, Ben. I'm ready to move on.
Seriously, it's got to be surreal for you. I haven't actually asked you this off air, on air, so I'm just throwing this out here to start this. How crazy is it, Steve, thinking about that broadcast team that's been around forever? They always are the highest rated, always getting all the accolades, all the love. And now, dude, like, you're no longer, like, the new kid on the block. Like, you're a part of the team, man. Like, when I think about that Met broadcast team, I can't think about it without you being in the mix. That's got to be pretty cool to think about, dude, you know?
It is pretty cool. And I'll tell you this. It's something that I've thought about more and more lately, because when I took over in this role for the greatest ever do it, Kevin Burkhardt, you know, he was as established as you could possibly be. And he spent, I believe, parts of, I want to say it was 8 years, 2007 to 2014. And I filled in 55 games from in 2014. So I'm going on, I believe this is now going to be my 8th year as part of the broadcast crew. So, the fact that I'm going on the same number of years as KB did it is crazy to me. It feels like just yesterday that I started, but yeah, it's incredible to be a part of this group. And, you know, when I look back on where I was when I started, I mean, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing looking back on it. And the way that they, you know, A, took me under their wing as a trio, but challenged me and pushed me. And there's a reason that they're the best there is in the business, and it's because there is no resting on your laurels. So, you know, everybody's expected to bring it, and if you don't, they let you know it. And it's made me a much better broadcaster, and, you know, I've really learned over the years how to, you know, compliment them as best as I can. So, you know, it's a dream come true. It's a dream job, and I can't wait to get going again for season number 8.
Well, season 8 is going to be pretty crazy, Steve, because, you know, you think about the Mets, and I was thinking about this the other day. All the years I've been on the air here at FAN, I think from a trade standpoint, there's never been a trade that has just fired up the fan base in the offseason the way this Lindor-Carrasco trade has. I know Cespedes mid-year was a must. They needed the big bat. He was a game changer. But like wintertime, thinking about offseason moves, this one's been universally praised. Is this the most fired up you've seen the Met fan base in all your years of covering the team? Thinking back to like a wintertime period?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's not really that close. And, you know, this Lindor trade, when you look at it, we all expected that this was possible, right? I think that initially when Sandy Alderson started to talk in the beginning of the offseason about how important prospects were and that they weren't necessarily open to you know, trading from a part of the organization that quite frankly needs some work right now, I think we thought, all right, maybe they're going to go more the free agency route. And so, you know, while expecting that the Lindor trade could happen, I think it was becoming less likely after a little while, and people started diverting their attention, obviously, to George Springer and Trevor Bauer. And when this happened, the craziest part about it is that, you know, A, you'd expect to have to give up one of the absolute top prospects in the organization to get a Lindor just on his own. And they were able to pull off this move without giving up any of those top guys. And this, not to take anything away from the two major leaguers they traded, Ahmed Rosario, who had a down season last year, and Andrés Giménez, who really does look like he has some star potential based on the small sample size we saw from last year. But beyond that, you know, the prospects they gave up, good young prospects, but not from that top end of the talent pool that we would expect they would have to trade from to acquire a player of Lindor's caliber. And then to add Carrasco on top of it, you know, it just seems like an incredibly savvy trade made by this, you know, new front office and new ownership group. And yeah, I think that Mets fans have a right to be ecstatic, because, you know, this has the potential to go down as not just a game-changing trade, but a franchise-changing trade. And I think that plus the moves that they've made in the offseason have, in short order, propelled this team from, you know, a potential playoff team to now one that you could seriously talk about with a straight face for being a World Series contender.
Totally agree. And Steve, get used to a whole lot of interviews with Francisco Lindor, hopefully in person sooner rather than later, because listen, the guy is just Mr. Personality. He's got the big smile. He's always wearing his emotions on his sleeve. And I thought the minute they made this trade, they got themselves the next face of the franchise for the next 7-8 years. And I'm not trying to disparage Pete Alonso, and I get what Pete brings to the table. Lindor's just a flat-out better player. And Jake, as dominant as he is, you know this, Steve, it's very tough for a pitcher to be like that face of the franchise when they're only taking the ball 1 out of every 5 days. Do you see that sort of face of the franchise type potential with a guy like Lindor?
Yeah, I mean, of course you do. You know, this is a guy that, let's call a spade. He's one of the top 5 to 10 players in Major League Baseball, and he's just entering his prime right now. And when you take that fact and then look at the personality and look at the way that he embraces the game and you know, the way that we would expect him to embrace the city, of course, if he's not someone that has faced the franchise potential, I don't really know who is. I think the great thing, though, about this current group, and one of the reasons, quite frankly, that last season was such a disappointment, is that we saw at the end of 2019 this really exciting, great young core where it didn't have to be just one guy, just one face of the franchise. Sure, Pete Alonso got all the praise on the offensive side, and Jacob deGrom was that guy from a pitching perspective, you know, in my opinion, still the number one pitcher in Major League Baseball right now. But whether it was Conforto or, you know, Dom Smith, J.D. Davis, Jeff McNeil, the way that this group came together and played together and loved playing with each other, you felt like there didn't need to be a face of the franchise. And I think with Lindor, he has that potential. He probably will become the face of this franchise if an extension is agreed to. And you know, this is just a gut feel, but I would think that an extension would happen despite the way that both sides are kind of down.
Not going out on much of a limb there with Cohen running the team, Stevie. Well, that's the beauty of this new ownership, bro. Not going out on much of a limb there, man.
Right, there you go. But you know, I think a guy like Lindor, by all accounts, he just fits in so well with this room. And I think sometimes for people that aren't in the room, for people who don't get to see what we get to see on a daily basis, it can feel like team chemistry can be overrated. And while it's not the be-all, end-all, I think that it's more critical than people realize. And this was already a great group, and now you add not just one in Lindor, but Carrasco as well, two really great clubhouse guys, well-respected guys, great teammates, and it'll only enhance what they can bring to the table that they're entering a group like this.
Stevie, you brought up a good point about their chemistry in 2019. Definitely saw it watching. You obviously had a firsthand look. Was it off last year, or was it a product of pandemic year, slow start, injuries? Did you notice a different vibe? I mean, you don't get the same access, obviously, because of everything that went down with COVID. But did something feel maybe a little off between the dugout, if you will?
Yes, it did. And you said it. I can't tell you what it was truly like because I wasn't there on a daily basis. We're doing all these things via Zoom. But the fact of the matter is that everybody had to deal with it. You're not making excuses, but this tight-knit group fed off of the energy of the fans. They really, really did. And, they just loved being together, being around each other. And to be honest with you, too, they got on a roll. And chemistry is always easier, and having good times is always easier when you're on one of those hot stretches that they were in to start the second half of 2019. So last year, they just never really found their footing as a group. And I think the way that they were losing, could be demoralizing at times. You had some of the big name guys really struggling to start. I mean, Jeff McNeil and Pete Alonso, they were as integral as you could possibly be in 2019. And both of them had really slow starts to the season last year. McNeil picked it up, but Alonso never really found his footing. So I think it was a confluence of a lot of events. COVID-19 certainly didn't help. The fact there were no fans in the stands didn't help. But, again, it's hard to make any excuses because they weren't unique in any way. Everybody had to deal with it. I just think that this group, a group that clearly fed off a lot of these things that were missing last year, they were adversely impacted. Not saying every other team wasn't, but it impacted them in some way. It didn't feel exactly the same last year, nor should it have.
We got my main man, Steve Gelbs, a part of the broadcast team with Keith, with Ronnie, with Gary, and with Gelbsy, doing the Mets all year round on SNY. Okay, Gelbs, I'm going to let you live in fantasy land. I know you don't get this very often, but I'm going to put you in fantasy land right now. I give you one move that GM Steve Gelbs could make moving forward for the 2021 Mets. For me, it's a simple one. Go get George Springer and put him in center field. You on the same wavelength there?
You know, JJ, I'm not, to be honest with you.
Interesting. I think it's because you're on talk radio now and you got to battle me like the old days, bro. That's
right. I was told that the good radio is the radio where you argue with each other.
Always.
So, and I think you told me that back in the Z89 days when I came onto your show and you got a lot of flack for that. Because I wasn't working at the station. You can tell that story a little later.
I bring my own people in. Listen, I know talent. I was right about that, by the way. What can I say?
To answer your question, I think, listen, Springer would be an unbelievable addition, but if you ask me right now, where is this team lacking? It's still lacking starting pitching. I mean, as great as the Lindor trade is and as much of a game changer as he is, the offense wasn't the issue last year. This is one of the best offensive teams in Major League Baseball a season ago. Defensively, they could use to get a real center fielder in there for sure and move, Nimmo to his natural position at the corner. I think it's going to depend a lot, too, the Mets' success based on whether or not there's a DH next year because Dom Smith has to play every day, and obviously so does Pete Alonso. So, that's a story for another day. But for me, the issue last year was the starting pitching. And right now, that starting pitching staff will be much better. just because of the addition of Carrasco and the fact that Stroman's coming back and the fact that Noah Syndergaard should return at some point in the middle of the season. But I'd still go out and get a starting pitcher. Now, I think, you know, obviously the top of that market is Trevor Bauer. And you're talking, if you're living in fantasy land and nothing else exists and you're not worried about a luxury tax, Trevor Bauer would be the guy. Trevor Bauer, for me, you put him into this rotation, you put him onto this team right now, and that's it. I mean, they don't really have any holes at that point. But again, is that realistic? Probably not. For me, the more realistic thing at this point would probably be to get a center fielder of some kind and maybe add, you know, another bullpen arm, something like that. So, you know, could you get, if not a Springer, if Springer's not coming off what the reported demands are, which, you know, may be a little too rich for the Mets blood at this point. Remember, they still need to sign Michael Conforto long-term if that's something that they're interested in. I think they should be. You know, maybe you can get a Jackie Bradley Jr., maybe something like that. And then could you sign a Hendricks, make a Super Bullpen? You know, that might be the way to go. But for me, it's still fantasy land. One move, it's got to be starting pitching. And the best starting pitcher in the league last year is currently on the market.
Okay, Gelmsy, what are you doing with Seth Lugo? Because I'm conflicted. I know what a force he has been in the bullpen. But if you do not get a Trevor Bauer, if you do not upgrade your starting rotation, he has made it very clear. He wants to start. And I thought, in a way, it was almost unfair for Lugo last year. They gave him like the Jabba Chamberlain treatment. The way they tried putting him in the starting rotation, it was maybe out of necessity because of all the injuries, but I hated the plan. I thought it made no sense. I thought they rushed him. I thought they wasted valuable innings out of Lugo. So if you could start spring training off with Lugo and prioritize one or the other, Steve Gelbs, is he starting or is he coming out of the bullpen?
I think everything you just said is as spot on as can be. And I've been thinking a lot about it and looking at this. And listen, you know, I love Seth. I think he's a fascinating guy. If you ever get a chance to sit down and really talk baseball with him, the art of pitching, the way he thinks through these things, he's really a throwback type of guy. And I've always been one that has wanted to see him really get his chance in the rotation because I do believe he's got, you know, number two potential. I think that he is that good. The question is, can he hold up as a starting pitcher the way that he can in the bullpen? And the problem is last year he did not perform consistently well in the starting rotation. But for me, I think the same way that you do, that he didn't have every opportunity to succeed. I mean, that was not something that was, you know, necessarily fair to him to yo-yo like that. So I do think that if given the opportunity to build up and enter spring training as a starting pitcher, he could really be, you know, a great one. And if they don't make any more moves, if they don't make any more starting pitching moves, I think he does start. Like, I would start him in the rotation, at least to begin the season. You got DeGrom, Carrasco, Stroman, Peterson. And then it's Matz and Lugo. And for me, Steven Matz has to win his spot back. You know, Seth Lugo would be the guy over Steven Matz, in my opinion, under the current situation. But if they go out and add a starting pitcher, and I think they may, then I think, and, you know, if Lugo's listening, he'll hate me for saying this, but I think then, you know, what's best for the team is he's in the bullpen again, and he becomes that weapon, and you've got just, you know, an incredible, incredible shutdown bullpen in that scenario. So for me, it's hard to answer the question right now because I don't know what moves they're going to make. If they go out and they sign, you know, a Brad Hand, a Liam Hendricks, then I think Lugo should start in the rotation. If they go out and they sign a starting pitcher, trade for a starting pitcher, do something for a starting pitcher, another starting pitcher, then Lugo is probably best suited and best served to be in the bullpen.
Gelbsy, final one, I appreciate the time. 2020 was a weird, crazy, messed up sort of year. For you specifically in your job, what was the most bizarre part of the day-to-day duty of covering the New York Mets? Like the empty stadium or doing road games from SNY? Like, what was like the holy blank moment for Steve Gelbs? So you're like, man, this just this just feels off. This just feels weird. Was there one, like, specific game moment that, like, sticks out maybe more than any other example?
Yeah,
I'm curious.
There was. I mean, all of it was weird. All of it was very weird. There was nothing about last year that felt normal to begin with, and there was no part that you ever got used to. The empty stadiums just were brutal. The sports are the atmosphere for me, and to not have it, it never felt quite right. But the moment, if you ask for a moment, it was when I was in the studio doing the road games, which always felt disconnected in a way. But there was one time where the monitor that I was using was on a delay for some reason. I can't remember exactly why. It was only that one game. It was on a slight delay, and it was underneath the camera that I was using. And so I was doing a report, and something happened in the game that normally I would either lay out if it was a home run call for Gary, or I would call the play-by-play and then get back to my report. And I didn't see it happening because it was like, 2-3 seconds behind. And so the whole thing felt really disjointed. I remember, during the commercial break, Gary was texting me like, hey, did you not see that? What was going on? And I said, no, I did. It happened much after, and we ended up having to fix it. But those are the types of little things that, no, if you're watching on TV, you have no idea. It's like, wait a second, why is Gelb's calling this play 2 seconds beyond? But it were those little types of things that you just had to deal with and kind of get used to and roll with the punches a little bit. But I expect that we would start the season in a similar type of situation, and I can only hope and pray that everything starts to turn the corner a little bit, and the vaccine rollout happens across the country, and people are safe, healthy, and maybe by mid-season, the end of the season, we can start to return back to normal. Because doing 162 like that would not be something I would want to do again.
Well, Gelbsy, I hope at some point this summer I see you out at City Field and I have a cold one in hand, and maybe I'm making my way out to the barbecue out in center field. And who knows, maybe our guy Springsteen will put together, a tour, and you and I can, go scream our heads off like we did in Philly back in 2008. I think your ears might still be ringing from my singing voice blaring out a bunch of Bruce tunes. So I apologize for that in advance.
I would love nothing more. And if it happens, if Bruce is on tour, you have your boy Paul Rosenberg text me and see if I want to go to the concert.
I will have Paul set it up. He will be a man of honor. Maybe we'll get him a ticket. And Eric Rothman's coming as well. I need the whole cast of characters. Gelbs, I love you, bro. All the best, man. Continued success. And hopefully I'll see you soon, all right?
All right, pal. Talk to you soon.
That's our good pal, Stevie Gelbs. Steve and I go way back from the Syracuse days. Now he's killing it with these Met broadcasts. And Paul, now you got a new buddy. See? You happy?
Thrilled. Sorry, I was saying bye to
you. Oh, you actually being a producer.
So I was being a producer. I was saying bye.
Steve was talking about the elements that the audience does not know about. That was one of those elements here in radio that I did not know about because I am no longer in the same studio as Paul Rosenberg. Sometimes you don't know it. That was one of those instances, Paul, where the audience might have been able to pick it up.
A slight delay. You're waiting. But it's fine. But I appreciate you hooking me up with Steve. And that was a fun fun little bit we did there.
Well, and a job well done by you. Nicely, nicely, nicely produced.
I do what I can for you, Jay.
You try.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.